There is a seed ark in Framingham, Massachusetts, at Garden in the Woods, a place as beautiful as its name. Bill Brumback, conservation director at the New England Wildflower Society, unlocks the door to the cinder block building that houses the ark, or vault. It looks exactly like the extra freezer you might keep in your garage, except for what's inside. Brumback raises the lid.
Okay, there are only rare seeds in this vault.
About a million rare seeds in sealed foil packets. Handwritten labels note the species name, where and when the seeds were gathered, and if the electricity goes out.
Seeds in a freezer is not like meat that's going to spoil. You're talking about things that may have a shelf life, if you will, of hundreds of years.
Some seeds may lose their viability, and scientists will be testing for that over time. For something so vital, the setup and security is rather unremarkable. It's not Fort Knox. It's not even Fort Collins in Colorado, where seeds for the National Apple Collection live. What is remarkable is that Brumback has been collecting the seeds from rare native plants since 1982.
Well, it was a good idea back then, and that was before climate change became more notorious.
Other threats to plant life have been around a long time. Deforestation, reforestation, dammed up rivers, growing cities and suburbs, even something as unassuming as a public trail. About 2,400 plants are considered native New Englanders, like Jess's milk vetch.
She was found in three places in the world, all along a 16-mile stretch of the Connecticut River in New Hampshire and Vermont.
Brumback is also worried about Castilleja.
It's a paintbrush, Indian paintbrush, and it's now only found in Connecticut. It was much, much wider than that.
Ecologists occasionally break into the vault and use seeds to reintroduce plants to their natural habitat. Brumback's big goal is to fill the ark with seeds from approximately 300 rare native species by 2020. That's thousands of seeds per species from multiple locations. At last count, with the help of hundreds of trained volunteers, a lot of private and some public money, they were about halfway there. Brumback says he needs another freezer. More seeds are coming.
I'm Elizabeth Farnsworth, and I'm senior research ecologist with New England Wildflower Society, and I am curating our collections of seed from rare plant populations.
Farnsworth is based in Western Massachusetts. The Wildflower Society has a plant farm and its seed dehydration equipment in Wheatley. Farnsworth is looking at GoBotany, a plant identification website. She shows me a picture of a rare glaucescent sedge.
And here are the seeds that we're going to collect, or the fruits, I should say, that have the seeds inside them.
And is it at that stage right now?
We certainly hope so.
To me, that rare sedge looks like a clump of grass. But Farnsworth says, once I see it in the wild, I'll never not see it again. That is, if we can find it. And it's a species she's rather fond of.
Back in 2001, it was still known as Carex flaccosperma, var glaucodia.
Farnsworth gets serious when she tells me, I can't tell you where we're going. Scientists are very protective of rare plants. They don't want civilian Johnny Appleseeds over-collecting and planting in the wrong spots.
All right, shall we start walking?
It's raining. It's a beautiful walk. And we walk and walk and double back. We go off trail, up a steep incline.
As we head a little bit deeper into the forest, I expect to see actually much of these herbaceous plants sort of drop out. We'll be looking for these guys.
Fingers crossed, Farnsworth says as she walks on.
And I'm looking for that characteristic sort of blue-greenish color.
There's a little opening in the tree cover, and Farnsworth is sure this is where she last found the sedge.
I will say I'm a bit puzzled. Just may not be my lucky day here.
In the next few minutes, she sees several other varieties, but not the rare glaucescent. Farnsworth stops, and she picks something up and looks at it for a while with the magnifying lens she wears around her neck.
I believe it is our glaucescent sedge, even though it doesn't look particularly glaucous in the pouring rain. They're so past at this point. They're actually very over-mature, shall we say. So I may have gotten out here just a little too late. But at least we know that there's still one or two of these guys. A little clump over there.
While the survival of humankind doesn't depend on finding this one rare sedge today, Farnsworth says the entire ecosystem is at risk.
So you lose a plant, you lose everything that depends upon it. And if you lose enough plants, you lose many of the important services that they provide to us as humans.
Like oxygen and medicine and, of course, food. We're hungry, and Farnsworth happens to find some tiny blueberries on a bush right near where she found the sedge. The seed arc may never be fully needed, but Farnsworth says the climate science is irrefutable. It could make an ecologist, among others, not want to get out of bed in the morning. Though, she says you do see plants come back from the brink. Like Henry David Thoreau before her, Elizabeth Farnsworth has faith in a seed. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Jill Kaufman.